You're listening to the October 25th edition of the Closing Market Report. It's a Friday afternoon. Let's check now what happened in the futures markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, India. Lafayette, he's in Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you. It's been a while since I've done that. Mike, how are you today?
You're doing fantastic, Todd. How'd the fundraiser go?
You know what? The fundraiser went really well. We had a rough time. They wanted 100, and I don't think we got 100, but we picked up about 35 calls in that last day, and that pushed us around to 85. So if anybody really wants to come in still, we need 15 more calls. We'll get the 100, and everybody will be happy.
Yeah, we'll do some matching on that if that'll entice anybody.
Yeah. Oh, well, that'd be fantastic. Thank you so much. They can still do that. The Contribute Now is always up at the top of the page at willag.org. They can just call 217-244-9455. They'll answer the phone there still yet. So it's all good. It wasn't bad. You know, I think the thing, when we look out at this, farmers and a lot of the folks were pretty unhappy with Washington, D.C., and I'm pretty sure the farmers were looking out at next year, Mike, and thinking, hey, wait a second, I've had a pretty good run for 3 to 5 years. Am I prepared to live on a lot less than I have in the past? And it kind of scares them.
I think it does, and I'm not saying that's a good thing, but I think that we do need a little bit of a check, and this is probably the best time of the year to have it as far as a mental check when we get ready to do, you know, some of the new contracts and get our planning for 2014 done. And I think this is probably something healthy in the long run, especially, and we talked about this a little bit on Commodity Week. You asked a really good question last week about what could be done with new cash rent contracts and things like that. And after we got done with the program, I thought, you know, one thing I should have mentioned is plan for the idea that money, borrowed money, is going to get a lot more expensive potentially in 2014, because the good side of what Dave and I talked about this morning of a weaker dollar and the dollar increasing our agricultural exports comes with the negative side of a coin, that will probably come with the heels of those people and those countries that lend us money in the United States will probably be asking for a lot more as far as how much risk they're willing to put on the table in terms of an interest rate they get. So I think that's something that, you know, I'm glad you brought it up again, because I don't think it's necessarily bad that we have to go through this right now, because it gives us time to prepare.
And part of that preparation, I happened to, as I was walking out of Mumford Hall, to run into the folks that operate the FBFM, or Farm Business Farm Management, for the state of Illinois, and we were discussing this idea and what might be some of the problems, what'll be faced, and what are some of the fixes or things you can do up front, making sure that you, if you've got things expensed, that they're actually paid for rather than borrowed. That might be a good idea, and try to get things paid up rather than having to carry a monthly fee, because it might get pretty tough. I'm not sure that others outside of agriculture, and even some of us in agriculture, really, Mike, understand the variations in a farmer's income from year to year. I know when Claire Ann and I first were married, she looked at my four brothers and said, how do they do it when they don't have a check that comes in every week or every 2 weeks? And she had to deal with, here at the university, we were paid just once a month, and that surprised her some. So it's pretty interesting. And then the idea that you're going to change your income dramatically from one year to the other is really scary.
And your balance sheet, you know, yeah. If the interest rates would go up and banks start to see land prices go down, then your amount of working capital and how much you can borrow would be affected by that. And so I think the big key point about this heading into the first of the year, with what type of dollar analysis that's probably, and what type of dollar trend we're probably going to see here between now and February and the next time we go through the debt ceiling debate, is the money in the short term, the Fed is probably not going to help us much with. They're going to probably continue to focus on the longer term interest rates, because that's where the housing market is. And so the shorter term money has the most volatility to it, yeah, in my opinion, as far as interest rate fluctuations.
Yes. So sometimes that's both equipment and land, both.
You bet.
Sometimes, yeah. So
you bet. You brought up a good point about how different the balance sheets are compared to what a typical industry goes through, like manufacturing.
Yeah, so that'd be 7 years maybe on equipment, 5 years maybe on a land purchase. It's It'll be fun to go through. Well, maybe not fun, but it'll be fun to watch and talk about, I guess.
Well, like I said, I think we'll be prepared, and I hope that we do a lot of winter meetings this winter, because I think that's probably something that would be needed to be talked about a lot more than in years past. As you say, we've had prices on our side, and it's good to be prepared and use the Dale Carnegie principle. What's the worst thing that can happen to me? And then after you figure that out, you can sleep at night.
Yeah, so those who want to schedule a winter meeting, since you mentioned it, they can just drop me an email, tgleason@illinois.edu. Call Dave here at the station. Either one of us, if I come out with you, I'll probably try to bring Gary Schnittke or one of the FBFM folks if you request that, and of course Mike and Jackie and Chuck Shelby and whoever else you might be looking forward to. But we're certainly looking forward to the winter meeting season and getting out and talking about a bunch of these issues. Tell me more about the trade this week and what you saw in the wheat, corn, and soybean pits.
Early trade week really played off the weather, Todd. It seemed like that with the crop harvest showing the corn 14% behind the 4-year, the 5-year average, the market saw that the beans were primarily in for many portions of the corn and bean belt, but the corn still had a lot to go. And we had a big open window here where weather models continued to dry out through the week and open up the weather pattern even more and the harvest progress even more. So early in the week, I think it was pretty simple math. The trade bought beans and sold corn. Wheat made a new weekly high, a new four-month high on Monday. That helped preserve the corn from going down too much. As we got towards the later part of the week, however, and we got past the really, really big and impressive weekly soy meal export sales, the trade broke out above technical resistance, explored the upside in the bean complex. And by the time we got to today, we started to see a lot rougher weather picture as we head into next week, potentially with potentially a lot of rain and potentially a lot of wind. And I know producers don't want to hear that, but I think that's something that we're going to have to really watch as we come back from Sunday night's trade. So we saw an unwinding of the bean-corn spread today, and we saw the corn gain on the wheat as well by the time we got to the end of the week.
It had wheat had a pretty good week early on, but it did finish lower on the week.
Yes, it did. I know the December contract I show still was up about 3 to 4 cents when it was all said and done, but you may be right. I might have the wrong numbers there. Mm-hmm. But it was a situation where the spreads and the new crop wheat certainly wanted to fall, and maybe some of this wetter weather is actually more bearish for the new crop wheat, and I think maybe the weekly export inspections were helpful. Australia's weather was helpful. Argentina's weather was helpful. But by the time we got to the end of the week, I think maybe the trade was seeing how high we had gotten and maybe wanted to just get protective and take some profit.
You think there'll be a little pop in the marketplace that we can find a place to make sales? And would you do so if that's the case?
Well, I think in beans we got there this week to make right. some sales. In the corn, it's going to be tougher. I think the worse the weather is and the harder it is to get the corn out next week, because like I said, we were 14% behind the 5-year average this Monday. I'm hearing a lot of clients tell me that they're getting into their fuller season corn and the moisture levels are way too high to shell it. So a lot of the corn's going from 19, 17% moisture up into the high 20s in some cases, and that goes from Minnesota to western Illinois. So I think if the weather stays bad and we get a lot of wind and we get 2.5 inches of rain next week, I don't think the corn's got a lot of downside at that point. Can we get above 456? I think you're going to need the wheat and the beans to help you get there, and you're going to have to get a buy signal in the Dow Jones UBS Grain Index to get some funds underneath you, especially after this week's trade.
Thanks so much, Mike.
Thank you, Todd. Have a great weekend.
You too. Mike Zuzula at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Atchison, Kansas.